Today on Real Radio.
Knowing that when it's time for you to die, is it in your mind, in your heart, that you will fall into the arms of the everlasting God? Will you die in assurance? Do you know that to be a fact? Because the Bible says you should know that as a fact.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse look at Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. You know, there's a growing number of professing believers these days finding so-called creative ways to present the gospel. Now, on the surface, that sounds good. But when asked, what is the gospel and what is it that you're trying to communicate? Well, a lot of those same people might be hard-pressed to find a good, solid answer. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's got to be among the best sections in all of Scripture where the gospel is really laid out in easy-to-understand terms. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a series taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. It's called, What Will Happen When You Die?
Will you die in peace? Well, pastor, I've seen tombstones that say rest in peace. Didn't you know that's a joke? I mean, I know people write that down with all seriousness, but did you know that's an absolute ridiculous statement? Oh, may he rest in peace. Have you noticed how religious everybody gets when their friend dies? People party hardy, dope, drug, living whatever, or arrogant and proud, self-righteous because of their morality. It doesn't matter. But the lost, have you noticed that when someone dies, they'll even say things like this, because I've done more funerals than I could ever number. But you know, inevitably, a non-believer gets up to the microphone to say something. Because you'll say, would anybody like to share anything regarding dead Bob or whatever? And see, people don't want the reality of it. Somebody will come up and say, yeah, I'm not a public speaker, man, but I remember when we were out behind 7-Eleven one time getting loaded, it was the most crazy thing. Wow, and you know what happened? And it's like, and I'm over here going, oh. And so this thing happened, and then the other thing, and well, anyway, dude, have a good time in heaven, man. Have you noticed that? You've all been to funerals, haven't you? Immediately, automatic, without question, the guy's in heaven. He lived like hell, but the guy's in heaven. How does that happen? Purely wishful thinking on our part makes us feel better somehow. It's not true, though. See, what do you do when you do a funeral for a non-believer? I've done many non-believer funerals. Do you know what you say? It's a tough, man, because you can't lie. God will knock me out. I can't say, well, you know, isn't it great that Billy Bob is in heaven today? I can't say that. I'll lose my job. God will fire me. So do you know what I say? This is true, man. This is what I say. If Billy Bob could speak to us today, Billy Bob would say, love Jesus Christ with all your heart and give your life to Christ. Wouldn't he say that? You bet he would say that. Him and Adolf Hitler side by side. Uns warten Steven happens. And he would say, yeah, Jesus, now quick before it's too late. God wants you to die in peace. That is when death is coming down the hallway. You don't have to be afraid. Christians, look, I'm on this team. Christians, we don't fear death anymore. I don't want needles and hoses and pins and tests and probes and pain before. Just get me to the death part. Right? But remember what I said. Even that adds to our life in eternity with God. The pain and the sorrow mean something. It will mean something to us in eternity. I don't get it. I just know it's true. Number three, will you die forgiven of your sins? Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, which justifies me asking you this question. Third question, will you die forgiven of your sins? Knowing that you have all confidence that your sins, God does not remember. Oh my goodness. to watch an unsaved person die, it's not like it used to be. You can read, before technology came into our world, you can read about the, in fact, you can buy a book. It's called The Last Words of Saints and Sinners. And it's their last words recorded, the difference between the believer dying and a non-believer dying. How many of you ever heard of Bertrand Russell? We've gone to school, we've heard of him. You know what Bertrand Russell's last words were? He was screaming in his bed, "Death comes, death comes, death." Now, this is the guy who was supposed to tell everybody how to live their lives. Follow me, I'm a genius. His last recorded words before he died, death comes, pitless and dark. And Bertrand Russell died. God wants you to know that your sins are forgiven. He wants you to know that. But the only way you can know that is if you've put your faith and trust in the resurrected Jesus. That's why Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes." Listen to this, Romans 4:25 in the New Living Translation. I don't usually give you that one because it's more of a poetic representation. It's not a version to study with. But listen to this. Romans 4:25 says, "He was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God." How pure and simple is that? You know what Spurgeon said? Charles Spurgeon said, and I quote, "At his death, he subtracted our sins, and by his resurrection, he added his righteousness." I like that kind of math. See, that doesn't make sense. Who cares? It's the way God does math. All of the sins of the world were heaped upon Jesus. Your sins and mine. He dies. At his death, God appropriates all of the righteousness of Jesus Christ upon us. When? The moment he rose from the grave. That's why, listen, don't misunderstand me. The virgin birth of Jesus Christ, amazing. His ministry, amazing. His death on the cross, amazing. All of it for nothing if he's not risen from the dead. That's why, you see, you pull out the resurrection, you ain't got nothing. But the resurrection's true. Number four, will you die ready? The Bible says that we are to be ready. Will you die ready? Are you ready to meet God? Knowing that you've been living a life that's been pleasing to God and man? You're living for Christ. Are you ready? You say, "Pastor, I'm not ready." You can get ready. I notice some of you are fanning yourselves. Is it hot in here? It's hot up here. And I see some of you over there, over here in this camp. They're fanning themselves right here. There's a couple other over here too as well. Now listen, those of you who are fanning yourselves, are you a Christian? Because if you're ready, this is as hot as it gets. Are you ready? Jesus wants you to die ready. What will happen to you when you die? Number five, will you die hopeful? Say, are you crazy? You mean you can die hopeful? God wants you to die hopeful, full of hope. Oh, during the Puritan era, even during the time of our revolutionary period, did you know, listen, this is cool. They would bring in a pastor or a friend, and they would record the last words, as I was mentioning earlier, they would record the last words or the actions of the professing believer. For example, listen, when George Washington died, they brought in, I forget his friend's name, but the gentleman came in, and as was the custom for 300 years before that, from Pilgrim England, they would record the actions or the words of the believer because they would give testimony. See, nowadays people are so drugged up that a lot of people are kept from salvation. There's no more deathbed conversions, hardly any anymore, because somebody goes in for, you know, a hangnail and they put him on morphine and the guy winds up dying of a heart attack and for crying out loud. they would record these words. You should see these words of some of the last, George Whitefield, John Wesley, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson. You ought to read these things. They just recorded them, their last words. It's awesome to see how hopeful a believer dies. Lisa's dad died at the cancer unit at USC. We were all in the room. We're singing hymns, Bible verses. He was a believer. And he was just sitting there. He's propped up because that's the only way that he could breathe. And they had air on him. And so he's there. And watch this. He opens his eyes. And he looks around the room. Looks at everybody in the room. I was going to say gone, but arrived. He didn't say anything. He couldn't talk. He had tubes down his throat and all that stuff. He looked around at his family one last time on this side. And the next time he sees us, it'd be in heaven. And for us, we have to wait. For him, there's no time at all. He's in eternity. There's no time. Just like I have 15 seconds right now, seriously. So we'll just cancel that right now and keep going. Number six, will you die alone? I don't mean will someone be holding your hand. I mean a worse alone than that. Not knowing the ever-present indwelling awareness that the Lord is your God. Will you die alone without God? Why would you do that when Jesus Christ is risen from the dead? Number seven, will you die condemned? God doesn't want you to die condemned. Did you know that? We hear the good news, the gospel, and we go like this. In our arrogance. Death, I'll take care of that. Really now. Will you die condemned? Will you die almost a Christian? Will you die almost there? Almost saved? In 2 Corinthians 6, 1, the Bible says, we then as workers together with him also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. 1 Corinthians 15 is the grace of God. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Paul says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You say, well, Pastor, I'm going to think about these things. Okay, that's fine. Just don't die. You just don't die. I don't want to think about it for a few weeks. Just don't die. Number eight, will you die too soon? So what kind of a stupid question is that? It's not a stupid question. It's a question that exposes where you're at. I have a friend right now, very young, has a beautiful wife and kids, pastor of a church. Unless God intervenes, he'll be dead soon. Could be this week, could be a month, I don't know. Unless God heals him. And we will no doubt, and we have already entertained the thought, too good of a man, needed here on earth. Why does it have to be this way? I've been tempted. God, why? And I expose my ignorance of the Word of God and the nature of God. Because you and I, and it's okay, you and I have this love for life. And we have the way it's supposed to go. And it, pause right there. I would imagine it's similar to a baby being in the womb, okay, just before delivery. And saying things like this, where'd all the water go? Hello, no one asked me about this. 98.6, tropical waters, fantastic, where'd the water go? And what's pushing me from behind? What is this? Why is it getting smaller in here? I don't like what's going on, and I'm going to do something about it. And I'm going to... Think. What could possibly be going on in that head? This ain't working. And what's that light up ahead? And why do I now all of a sudden feel like I'm getting squeezed through the eye of a needle? And I don't, now that my hand is out there, I don't like the temperature. Think about it. What could a baby be thinking? I want to stay in here. We say, I want to stay on earth. There's more I need to do here. Imagine a baby. I'm connected to this thing. I don't get that. I got this tube sticking out of my stomach. My head's too big for my body. Right? I'm bow-legged. I got white stuff all over me. I look like a freak. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not even dressed. I'm staying here. Right? We say, oh God, I don't want to die. That's because he put the love of life in us. That's okay. That's fine. But if you knew where we were going, you would say, you would send a message. Excuse me, but can the doctor have a catcher's mitt, please? Because I'm coming out. Here I come. Didn't Paul say that? Didn't Paul say to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord? Didn't Paul say, I would much rather leave this world and be with him, but because I need to preach more messages, I'll stay here behind until you guys get it? Paul said that. Isn't that amazing? No, you're going to die right on time. It's just not your time. It's on God's time. And it is incumbent upon every human being hearing this message right now to make a decision for Jesus before your time runs out. You will not die too soon. You will die right on time. God has appointed your hour. Your responsibility is to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Number 9, will you die without knowledge? This is to die without knowledge, willfully not wanting to know God. John 3:15 says that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. These are the words of God. Listen to this. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe, it's a choice. You are willfully choosing to be ignorant, is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, literally their condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. They're going to say, nope, I'm going down with a ship. Eyewitness accounts of people seeing porters and stewards running up and down the aisles, going into the compartments of the rich, taking gold and diamonds and rings and watches out of, robbing the rich while the ship is sinking, putting it in their pockets, and then jumping overboard to save themselves, and because of the weight of the gold, going straight to the black bottom of the Atlantic. Idiots. Oh, man. I'm going to load myself up with this gold, and when I get rescued, I'll be rich. And they jumped overboard, straight to the bottom. Number 10, will you die saved? Knowing that Jesus Christ died for your sins, you've come to him with nothing but yourself. You have no merits to give him. He's the Redeemer. And the Bible says, if you confess this truth, that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, if you believe that in your heart, and if you confess that with your mouth, the Bible says you're saved.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. in a look at the first 11 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, as Pastor Jack talked about in this lesson, this really is the section of Scripture that a lot of people refer to in order to communicate the gospel in a very simple way. What will happen when you die? That's the soul-searching question that serves as the title of this lesson, which is part of Pastor Jack's series through 1 Corinthians. And we'll continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. All right, time for my favorite time of the week. Time for another Ask Pastor Jack segment. Now, Pastor Jack, we've been doing this segment for a little over a year now. And I got to tell you, I'm surprised at the amount of people that sent questions in of all sorts. Got to be up in the thousands by now. I haven't counted them specifically. But remember, folks, if you've got a question for Pastor Jack, send it to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. That's askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. Now, like I said, we're getting a bunch of questions. So hopefully, listen close and we'll get to yours. Now, Pastor Jack, this has got to be the shortest, most to-the-point Ask Pastor Jack question that we've ever gotten. Brittany says, "Hello, Pastor Jack. I'd like to know your thoughts on taking medication for depression."
Wow. Yeah, let me be very careful how I answer this because, look, I'm coming from a certain angle, but also as a pastor, I meet with every kind of situation. So number one, Brittany, without knowing you, and I know I'm going to upset some people when I say this, but look, my background is science, to be honest with you. Brittany, have you had a saliva test? Is your blood test current? Have you had hormone testing? All these things are very important because, listen, we live in a fallen world, Brittany. And your chemicals, you may need medication because you have a chemical imbalance. There may be situations where your body may or may not be producing too much or not enough of something. And we, by the grace of God, God has given us brilliant chemists, brilliant doctors, and you may need medication for depression. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to get letters from pastors and people just all upset with me with what I just told you. During that whole process, always be asking the Lord to heal you. Always be asking the Lord to show you what's the source of the depression. And Brittany, I would want to ask you, do you have a daily healthy regimen of reading the Bible and spending time with God? Brittany, I got to tell you, as a pastor, it's much like being a doctor. You kind of only see sick people, right? A doctor sees sick people. And if a doctor didn't realize that there's also healthy people out there, he might think the whole world is sick. Well, as a pastor, I see people in their life's struggles. If that's all I saw, then I would think everybody is struggling. Well, Brittany, I want to encourage you. Everyone is not sick and everyone is not struggling. There's people who get great victory, and you're talking to one of them right now by the grace of God. I want to encourage you. Find out your chemical makeup. Find out, is it legitimate that you are on medication for depression? Because it may very well be the case. Secondly, you can always win, Brittany, no matter what the situation is. There's no substitute for the Word of God, for expecting God to heal you or to get you through the day. And Brittany, listen, there are people, great Christians, who struggle through life with hormonal, chemical challenges. They love the Lord Jesus Christ, and their strength is leaning on the Bible, even though they have to be also taking prescriptions. And so you must judge with the Word of God and be very wise how this plays out in your life. Okay, Brittany, I want to be very sensitive to all aspects of the fact that according to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, God has created you a body, soul, and spirit. And he wants you to prosper in those areas of who you are in totality. Okay? God bless you, and we'll be praying for you, Brittany.
We will indeed. Thank you, Brittany. Ask Pastor Jack. Send your question to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. That's askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.